Well, good morning. It's a privilege to be here and join together in worshiping a Father who is so worthy of all of our praises. I was just blessed in the end of the song we sang right before the end, O Church Arise. At the end of the last verse, he says, as saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. Amen. And I was just thinking how this morning as we were going through, you know, Romans chapter 7 there, how this struggle, this battle, the things that I want to do I can't, and the things that I don't want to do, those I find myself doing, we're in this battle where it ought to produce in us a hunger for that day when with Christ I'll be free. I'll be free from this flesh. I'll be free from this bondage. I'll be free from my bent towards sin, my constant desires that are contrary to God's. It's going to be gone. I'm going to be free. And I just couldn't help but my heart just swell. We hear their calls and hunger. We're longing. We're thirsty. We're aching. We groan together, Paul says, with all of the creation, longing to be delivered from this earth, from this sin, from this flesh. We long for that day when with Christ we'll stand in glory. With Him, in Him, fully complete. What a joy that will be. Before we get started, I wanted to ask if one of the kids wanted to volunteer to tell us what Sunday school was about. Anybody? Oh, you're going to have to go back in and have it again then. All right, let's open with a word of prayer.
Come on, children.
All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I thank you for heaven and for eternity coming where we will be free from the presence and the control of sin. We will be free from our own bent toward it. And Lord, to enjoy unbroken, unhindered fellowship with you. Lord, truly, we're longing for that day. Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word that you would speak with our hearts, that you would challenge us, encourage us, strive with us, whatever is needed, Father, that we would walk faithfully, that we would pursue you, that this will would remain in us and would strive against our flesh, Lord, that the will of your Spirit and the will of Christ to perform the will of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's getting a little concerned this morning. Brother Aaron was trampling all over what I was getting ready to preach about. I was like, well, thanks, buddy. But, you know, the Lord has a way of doing that sometimes. And I think many times one will prep the way for the next. And I want to start this morning in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This is something that really just stuck with me in the last week or so here. And 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read the first four verses. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome to us. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So this morning we were talking in the first hour, we were talking about the struggle of fighting against our flesh, fighting against our bent towards sin, fighting against what He says, we were sold under sin. We were slaves. We were bound. Sin had a right to us. And now, as we've been put to death, and we've come to newness of life in Christ Jesus, those old things are done away with. But we don't always experience it that way, right? So we were talking about the gap between our spiritual reality, what's truly real spiritually, and what we physically experience on a day-to-day basis, our physical reality. Now, that struggle is real. That struggle is going to be with us. It's going to be difficult for us. And if it's not, there's something wrong, right? If you're not striving against sin, there's something wrong. But here, John wants to point out to us, in verse 3, he says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous to us. So the struggle and the burden is difficult, right? But God's commandments ought not to be burdensome and grievous and troublesome to us. When we look at a child, for instance, who is just doing what they're supposed to do out of fear, they're going to do what daddy said or what mommy said, but they're going to be groaning. They're going to be just inside, just like, oh, I just don't want to. That should not be our experience in the Christian life. If we're truly born again, Paul talks about that will to do right remaining in us, right? So we ought to desire the things that God desires. His commandments, if his love is planted in us and his love is growing in us, the desire to do his will and a love for the things he loves ought to be growing in us as well. He says, this is the love of God. Not just that we do what we're supposed to do, not just that we keep his commandments, but that his commandments are not grievous to us. That it's not a heaviness and a burden and a hardship and, well, you know, life's just tough. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. Life is tough. But we have a Father who loves us. We have a Savior who redeemed us, who's living inside of us. His commandments, if we love him, if we're growing in our love for him and we're learning to walk in those things, they ought not to be grievous and heavysome to us. They should become a joy. I don't always want to do what I'm supposed to do, but I always should want to do what God wants me to do. I should always desire the desires of a person I love, right? I shouldn't, if I truly love my wife, I'm not going to grudgingly give her a kiss in the morning. I'm going to give her a kiss because I want to give her a kiss. I'm going to do the things that she would like for me to do because I want to bless her. I want to show my love to her. I want to make her happy. In the same way, in our relationship with Christ Jesus, in our relationship with God, if our love for God is growing and increasing, we ought to desire to do his will, to desire to do his commandments. It shouldn't be grievous to us. We talked a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus was our example in, again and again throughout Scripture, he says, and it's prophesied of him, and then it's talked about in Hebrews about him, he delighted to do God's will. He says, I delight to do your will. I delight. It's my joy. It's my pleasure. It's my privilege. It's not like I'm going, well, got to do what Dad says today. No, I want to do what Dad says today. I want to be a good son. I want to bless him. I want to love him. I want to obey him. I'm not always going to perfectly, but I should want to. It shouldn't be a heaviness. It shouldn't be a, I got to live this life. A child who obeys out of fear for the consequences of disobeying is going to do it grudgingly. But a child who obeys out of love is going to do it happily and joyfully. And you're not going to go, well, I mean, look, I obeyed you last week. How many more times are you going to ask me to obey you? You know, when does this end? That kind of an attitude is based on fear, out of fear of the consequences. That kind of an attitude is based on grudging of, I have to do what I'm supposed to do, instead of, hey, God, who has done all things for me, is commanding and asking me to do such and such. Well, why would I not want to do it His way? Why would I not gladly say, not my will, but yours be done, Father? There is a true and a healthy sense of the fear of God that a Christian ought to have, but it should instill respect and awe in us for God, not be our motivator to obedience. Did you catch that? Our fear of God should be something that inspires awe, inspires respect, but it shouldn't be our motivator for obedience. If it is, we're still under the law. We're not under grace. My fear of God is that He is so wonderful and amazing and far beyond what I can comprehend that my jaw should be permanently dropped. Like, wow, what an amazing God. But as a son of the Father, I don't need to live my life in fear that He's just sitting up there with a club waiting to hit me over the head. That's the fear that an unbeliever has towards God. And rightly so, many times. Right? You need to grow beyond that as you've come to a relationship with Jesus Christ and you begin to walk with Him. Your fear of God should change from a fear of repercussions, a fear of hell, a fear of, oh, He's going to spank me, to a fear of who He is and a respect and an awe. But my motivation for obeying Him ought to be one of love and admiration and a desire to be like Him, to be close to Him, to be near Him, to have fellowship with Him. We talked a while back about the prodigal son's brother, who he claims, and I can't possibly believe that he's right, but in his mind he says, I never once transgressed your law, Father. In all these years I've always been an obedient son. But he didn't know his father. Everything he was doing was grudging. He says, never once have you given me so much as a little goat that I could have a party with my friends. The father says, everything I have is yours. You're living here with me. You're supposed to be enjoying it. Okay? It shouldn't be grievous to you to serve a loving heavenly Father. If it is, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It shouldn't be grievous. His commandments shouldn't be grievous to me. If they are, then according to 1 John, I'm not walking in and living in the love of God. His commandments should not be grievous to me. Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Do you see carnal human beings around you viewing Christianity that way? No. Absolutely not, right? Christianity, oh man, what's that? A whole list of rules of stuff you can't do and stuff you have to do? Carnal Christians, you see the same thing. Oh, the Bible's just a book of rules. It's just a whole book of things I can't do and things I have to do. You missed the point. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. If you learn to know me, you will learn to know that my commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not heavy, because you will be serving out of love. You cannot truly know Jesus Christ and not love Him. You can't. He's the most lovable being that you could possibly come across. You cannot know Him and not love Him. And so if you don't love Him, you don't know Him. That's proof that you don't know Him, because you don't love Him. If you did, you'd love Him. There's nothing to not love. But from the outside looking in, the unsaved world goes, man, what a heavy, burdensome life you guys live. No, learn to know Jesus. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The life of a Christian is restful if it's lived out of love for Christ. If you learn of Him, if you know Him, if you fall in love with Him and walk with Him, His yoke is easy. His burden is light. His commandments aren't grievous. They're not burdensome. It's not heaviness. You will end up like Eve. She made the commandment of God more burdensome. God said, don't eat the fruit. Eve said, don't touch it either. Well, what did she do? She made it even more burdensome. She wasn't obeying God's command out of love. She was obeying it out of fear, out of a sense of duty. And she ended up making God's commandment more burdensome than it was to begin with, more burdensome than God made it. That's what the Pharisees did. Look at the books of commands and application that they wrote, that they added to the Old Testament law, as if the law was needing propped up and needing help, and they made the burden so heavy. Jesus said about them, He said, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They were making the law so much heavier than God did. And then blaming it on God that it was so heavy. Isn't that amazing how we do that? As opposed to, look at David, who didn't know the New Testament. He didn't know fully what was coming. He didn't fully know all of the things that we can know and understand in a New Testament light. But David loved God's law. God's law was not heavy or burdensome or grievous to David. He said, I delight in it. It's beautiful. It's lovely. This is the same law that the Pharisees are going, oh, this is so heavy. It was. You added to it. You made it so much more burdensome than it was. And if you're trying to perform it in your own strength, that is the natural human outcome. You will have to find things to prop it up and ways to try to keep yourself from breaking it, and you're going to make it heavier and more burdensome and more grievous than it is. Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden is light. But you have to come to Him and learn of Him and take His yoke upon you. And then you will realize how light and easy and restful His yoke is. If you love God, John says, this is the love of God, that His commandments are not grievous. That's what learning to love God looks like. His laws, His commandments, His desires for us are not burdensome. They're not heavy. They're a blessing. They're a blessing. They bring us rest spiritually. They give us a lighter load. Isn't that amazing? We serve a perfect, sinless, holy, righteous God who tells us that we ought to be perfect even as He is perfect. But yet He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you learn of me, if you're serving me out of love. That's why in a couple chapters back in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love both, and you're going to love one or the other. If you're in love with this world, oh, the commands of God are burdensome and heavy, difficult. Why would God ever ask that of a person? But if you love the Father, if you love Jesus Christ, His commands are restful. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. That's why you cannot love the world and have the love of the Father in you. It doesn't work. They're mutually exclusive. You're not going to do both. If you love the world, it will exclude the love of the Father because you're going to see Him as a tyrant. You're going to see Him as heavy-handed. That's how the prodigal son's brother saw his father. He thought he was a hard man to serve. Man, I mean, day in and day out, I'm out here slaving away and I get nothing for it. That's how he saw this father who literally spent however many years of his life gazing after and waiting for and longing for that son who had walked away. Does that sound like a hard, harsh, demanding father? No. This father wasn't harsh and demanding. This father was the most tender, compassionate, forgiving, full of grace and mercy, just waiting for that prodigal son to come home, to embrace him, to restore him, to give him his own ring and his own cloak and his own righteousness. Just waiting. Just turn around. Just come home. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to kill the fatted calf. Let's rejoice. Let's worship. Let's praise because my son was dead and now he's alive. Does that sound like a hard-handed, heavy-handed father? No, he wasn't. But the son, the older son, he couldn't see who his father was because he wasn't serving his father out of love. He was serving his father out of duty. And oh man, his service was heavy. His service was heavy. Do you think when that prodigal son came home and it had been a couple of hours, it appears, before the older son even knew that the younger son had come home and even knew what was going on and he's having to ask a servant, like, why are we having a party? Do you think the father's desire was that he would have been out in that field by himself for hours and hours on end without even knowing what was happening with his father? Why was it that all the servants knew what was going on and the son didn't? He was so out of tune with his father. He did not know what was going on. He comes in hours late. What's going on? What's happening? I believe the father's desire would have been for him to be in there with him, waiting and watching. And there comes my brother. Hey, let's welcome him home and forgive him. But he didn't even know his father's heart. He was in love with the world. He was following and obeying his father's command to the T and the letter, and I've never transgressed it. But it was all out of duty and responsibility and guilt and fear of punishment. He didn't know everything his father had was his. Everything. You know how we know that? Because his father said so. And because in the first verse of the whole story, he says he divided the inheritance to them. This older son had already been given his inheritance. He just wasn't living in it. He wasn't receiving it. He wasn't enjoying it. He wasn't being blessed by it. He was totally consumed by duty, and it was heavy and burdensome. He was striving to obey God's commandments, but it was heavy. It drug him down. It made him discouraged. It made him feel bitter at his father. It made him full of hatred towards his brother. It made him unable to be happy for a soul coming back and being made right with his Father. He couldn't enjoy the salvation of a lost soul because in his mind, it really wasn't that good to serve the Father. And how dare he restore him when he just totally disobeyed? I haven't ever disobeyed. I'm totally perfect and righteous. What have I got for it? He was sitting there waiting for his Father to die when everything his Father owned was already his. He was waiting for his Father to die so he could receive this stuff. Many of us, many Christians, are living their lives just waiting to die so they can receive good things that are promised, right? Isn't that true? We're living our life just waiting to die so we can receive these good things that are promised. When we're supposed to be living life abundantly through Jesus Christ right now. We're supposed to be full of joy. His burden's supposed to be light and easy and precious and beautiful. And we're supposed to be walking through this world seated already in heavenly places, already enjoying the fellowship of the Father, already enjoying peace and happiness and fulfillment and joy and satisfaction and the presence of our Father and the presence of His Son and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the good things of God and the peace that passes all understanding that guards our hearts and minds from all the troubles and the trials and the difficulties that come to us in this life. That's supposed to be our inheritance now. There's inheritance, more inheritance coming in heaven, but we already have received inheritance from God as His children. And many of us are not living in and enjoying that. We're not walking in it. We're living like paupers when the entire castle is ours. If God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, for me, for you, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Is God stingy? No. Do you think God's stingy? You don't know your Father. You don't know your Father. His commandments are not grievous. And if they feel grievous, ask Him to show you more of His love so you can respond with more love back to Him so that that love begins to help you to know and understand your Father. Because if you love God, His commandments are not grievous. If you know Jesus, if you learn of Him, if you love Him, His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Isn't that amazing? Job was such a man. We read of Job in Job chapter 1, verse 1, that he was a perfect, upright man who feared God and eschewed or hated, absolutely shunned evil. Job wasn't doing this simply out of a feeling of duty, because a feeling of duty can't give you a hatred for what you naturally love. Only love for something else can do that. If I am struggling on and on with sin, with a particular sin, it's probably because I want it. And I want it because I love it. And I can't love God if I love the world and I love this sin. Don't really want to be free from it. You may be grudgingly trying to obey His commands, but if my heart's also being drawn towards those things and I'm not growing in my love for Christ, I'm going to be trying to obey out of duty instead of love, and it will not be lastingly successful. Can't be. Do I want what God wants? If I love Him, I should want what He wants. If I love somebody truly, I will desire to do things in a way that please them. It's amazing how Jesus talks about hating your father and mother and even your own life, because you can't possibly love God to the extent that you're supposed to love God without it making those other things so small and insignificant by comparison that there's no love there in comparison to God's love. You can't love both. You can't love the world and love the Father. They can't coexist. If we're serving out of duty, our load will be heavy and burdensome and grievous. And we cannot say with Jesus, "I delight to do your will." No, I can try. I can try to put a smile on. I can try to pretend that I enjoy following God and being a Christian, but in my heart, there's going to be grievous, heavy, burdensome. Have to try to do what's right. Have to try to be a good Christian. Have to try to do what I'm supposed to do. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your love that you've extended to us and you've poured out abundantly for us to receive. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would help us to learn to receive that, to learn to grow in that, to walk in it, to accept it, to have it be taking root and resounding out of us back to you, that we would learn to walk in joy and freedom, and that we would find your commandments not to be grievous, we'd find your burden to be light and your yoke to be easy, and that we would find rest to our souls. Father, just drive these truths deep into our hearts, Father, that we would serve out of love and admiration for you and not out of guilt and duty and fear. In Jesus' name, amen.